It's called the American Idol effect. Wannabe pop stars sing classic songs during the TV talent competition, and then the next morning, songs by the likes of Stevie Wonder or Peter Frampton shoot to the top of the iTunes most downloaded chart, displacing, say, Fergie or Chris Brown. This week's number one download is no exception, the song Hallelujah, written by Leonard Cohen and sung by the late Jeff Buckley. First, we'll hear the performance that started the song's climb in the chart. Here's American Idol contestant Jason Castro.
Well, I heard there was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? Well, it goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall and the major lift, and the baffled king composing Hallelujah.
And now, here's Jeff Buckley's version from the 1994 album Grace.
Well, your faith was strong, but you needed proof. You saw her bathing on the roof. Her beauty and the moonlight overthrew you.
Grace was Jeff Buckley's only full-length studio release, and for those who don't know about this expressive singer who died young, just 30 when he drowned in 1997, we continue our assisted listening series with David Brown, a veteran music journalist who wrote a book, Dream Brother, a dual biography of Jeff Buckley and his father, Tim. Hey, David, nice to speak with you.
Likewise. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Just for starters, you know, this album has become legend for people who know about it. Can you explain why?
I think... First of all, it has to do something with the quality of it. It's an incredibly timeless album. Even though it was made in 1993, it's one of those records like a Nick Drake album that is not tied to a particular time when you listen to it. But also, in the years since Jeff died, he has become one of the most kind of talked about pop music figures by a whole generation of musicians who followed him. I mean, everybody from Coldplay to Rufus Wainwright to Nelly Furtado, and the list goes on and on of people who gave interviews in the years after his death citing that album as one of their favorites and as a real influence on them. So it became a real word of mouth phenomenon, and has sold probably three times what it did at the point when Jeff died.
We mentioned that was a Leonard Cohen song there. You know, of his own material, how would you describe his own material?
Jeff's own material was a little all over the place. This is a kid who grew up listening to and playing prog rock and bands like Rush and Yes and so forth, and then kind of got into more of the classic songwriters, Van Morrison's and Elvis Costello's later in his career. And you almost hear that in his own songs. They're almost like these little journeys, you know, that the dynamics go up and down, and they go from soft to loud, and the rhythms change, and his voice soars above it. So his own songs are almost this real kaleidoscopic mirror of all of his influences over the years.
Well, you picked a track for us to listen to. This is Jeff Buckley, The Last Goodbye from Grace.
Kiss me.
David, that song to me sounds like it would just be a huge hit right now for somebody like Daughtry. Or, you know, why wasn't Jeff Buckley more commercially popular at the time? He really didn't sell a huge amount of records.
He really didn't. Grace had barely sold about 200,000 when he died. I think it was probably just a combination of the times. That is, like you say, that song and a lot of Jeff's music is very kind of nakedly passionate and earnest and very hard on the sleeve. And you know, back in 1994, you know, the moment of people like Beck or a lot of alternative rock stuff, that kind of thing wasn't really in.
Right.
And I think he was even from the moment he started, he played at a club called Chenet on the Lower East Side, and I remember speaking to a lot of people for my book about those early days, and people would go see him, and he'd be doing his own songs and covers of Billie Holiday songs or Smith songs or Elton John songs, and people would come out of it going, I don't get it. Like, it seems kind of corny singing these, like, sincere songs. You know? So I think there was something about Jeff that was a little out of step with the times, but that's, of course, made it transcend those times at the same time at this point.
You picked another track for us to listen to. Let's hear Dream Brother.
The love you lost with the skin so fresh, free with the wind in a butterscotch head. The queen eyes bloom goodbyes with her head in her hands and your kiss on the lips of another.
Was he a melancholy fellow? I mean, if you listen to the record, sometimes you could think that.
Yeah, Jeff had almost a duality about him. He was definitely a sort of angst-ridden, tugging at his hair, you know, pondering life, and certainly, you know, his father, Tim, and who died young as well, and who Jeff barely knew, and what the impact of all that, and you hear all that, the weight of that on his music. At the same time, he could also be a total goofball, known for, you know, really kind of spot-on impersonations, almost George Carlin kind of routines.
I once saw him waltz with a guy backstage I was backstage at a show, Better Than Ezra, like in Louisiana, and he just started like doing a two-step with this other guy once, and I thought, that's Jeff Buckley?
Yeah, exactly. One of his friends told me there were two Jeffs. There was like regular goofy Jeff and mythological Jeff. And
well,
he was always going back and forth between the two, and I think that was really spot on.
Well, that brings up this idea of the way he died, dying so young, dying tragically, trying to swim across a part of the Mississippi River. You know, given who he is, some people might have thought, oh, it was a suicide attempt or not. It just seemed to be a terrible accident that added to his legend.
Yeah, one of the things about Jeff is that he was kind of a reckless guy.
Yeah.
And you kind of hear that in his music, the way it's like all over the place, and he was just fearless about taking his voice and his music wherever he wanted. He wasn't thinking about the pop charts and what would get him a hit single. He was just like, I love this, I'm going to go this way.
Or the way he was thinking about tomorrow, right?
And he lived his life, his personal life, and to some degree like that as well. And I think he actually was in the Wolf River, which is a tributary of the Mississippi.
Hey, so, David, unfortunately we have run out of time, but we'll send people to listen to Grace. Hey, thanks for walking us through that. David Brown, music journalist.
This is the BPP from NPR.